back to the show. Len Montez here with you on a Wednesday afternoon, a Champs Wednesday afternoon. And it's time, actually it's my favorite time of the week. Wednesdays are good, but they get better at around 5:20 or so because this man, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, joins us. What's up, Christopher? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
It's good to see you, man. And I hate to do this to you, but we got to revisit what happened 6 days ago.
Yep.
Got to talk about that 14-10 loss. And let me ask you right off the bat, have you ever witnessed a game like that where a team has dominated the game for 55 minutes and then in a matter of 5 minutes give up 2 touchdowns and lose the game?
You know, if I have seen anything like that, I don't have an example standing out in my head. I mean, you look at that game and you're right. Virginia Tech dominated basically the entire game. Just shut down everything Boston College wanted to do. Matt Ryan looked like a below-average quarterback. Steve Logan looked like he had no idea what he wanted to do offensively. Looked like he had no idea what to do. But, you know, in the last 5 minutes or 4 minutes, it was a totally different story with, you know, amazingly enough, Matt Ryan calling his own plays in the two-minute drill.
You know, there was a time where in those first 3 quarters, I was thinking, this guy's the Heisman Trophy candidate. This is the guy that everyone's bragging about. And I've seen Matt play before. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see him on Saturday night games. There's a couple of Saturday night games early in the season, ACC battles. And I've seen him play before. But that night, that particular night, he didn't look good. He didn't look good at all for 3 quarters. What impressed me more than anything else about what he did, Chris, is that he changed the game from the standpoint of when he took his snaps, he made the pocket move about 5 to 10 yards downfield, and he was no longer there when the defensive line was able to break down an offensive line, and because of his arm strength, he was able to make plays.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's ever shown that mobility before on film. I know last year he had that foot fracture for most of the year and just couldn't move out of the pocket at all last year, and, you know, for the most part this year, he didn't have to move out of the pocket because they'd only surrendered 6 sacks on the season coming into the game. So that was just something that I don't think Virginia Tech was prepared for, and you wouldn't expect them to be prepared for because, you know, Matt Ryan running is just something that's never happened before, but he was able to do it and make that amazing throw across his body, across the field for the touchdown. You just got to give him credit.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins you on a Wednesday afternoon. And, Chris, 2 questions before we talk about Georgia Tech and Thursday night. One is, we've got to give mad props, and this isn't a question. Actually, this is more or less a statement. I need your statement as far as how well Chris Ellis played on Thursday night. Last Thursday night, he went up against a guy, Gosder Sherrilis, and he's supposed to be the ACC best left tackle in the conference, and Chris wore him out. He just sped rushed him. He gave him moves. He constantly beat this guy. I was impressed what Chris was able to do. Tell me what you saw.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Sherrilis is projected by Mel Kiper to be a first-round pick, and Ellis just destroyed him and destroyed their true freshman tackle on the other side. You know, nobody could block Ellis all night. He had a sack and a half, 7 quarterback hurries, you know. On BC's first touchdown drive, Matt Ryan threw 3 incompletions, and on all 3 incompletions, Ellis was credited with a quarterback hurry, you know. So it was just an amazing performance by Chris Ellis and an amazing performance by Tech's defense overall. I think that was the best Bud Foster game plan I've ever seen, and he's had a career full of great game plans.
Speaking of Bud Foster, and you lead me right into the next question, is the fact that people are questioning whether or not they played a prevent in those final 2 or 3 minutes. I said no. I said you saw the same defense that they played all game long. What you saw that happened, that changed, was the fact that what we mentioned earlier, Matt Ryan changed where the pocket was. So if you send 3 guys, you send 4 guys, unfortunately, they can't get an extra 7 or 10 yards back because that's where he was because of his arm strength. That's where he was making plays. Prevent doesn't exist. Bud says it doesn't exist. You've been here longer than I have. What did you see Thursday night?
It's rare when you see Bud Foster go into a prevent defense. I don't remember the last time I did see it because a prevent defense, you take out a couple linebackers and bring in a couple of defensive backs. And, you know, on those last 2 drives, Tech stuck with what they've been doing the whole night for the most part. Cover 3 on the first touchdown pass, Macho Harris was in man-to-man. I don't see how anybody can see that man-to-man coverage and say that's a prevent defense. No, it's man-to-man defense. You just got to give Matt Ryan credit. You know, Tech even dropped their linebackers a little deeper in coverage But still, Matt Ryan, on a couple of occasions, was just able to fit the ball between the linebackers and the safeties. And, you know, I think Macho Harris could have had better coverage on a couple of those plays on the first touchdown drive. Not necessarily the touchdown pass. That was a perfect throw. But there were a couple of early throws in that drive when they were in zone coverage that I thought he could have reacted quicker to. But, you know, for the most part, that was the same Tech defense. And you just got to give BC credit, and you got to score more than 10 points yourself.
Absolutely. And you know what? I was going to go as far as we were actually going to get into it, you and I, because I thought you were questioning how well Macho had coverage on that touchdown pass.
No.
He was right there.
Yeah.
That was a perfect pass.
Yeah.
And not only that, it was a great catch,
yeah,
too. I mean, granted, Ryan laid it in there, but it's still a solid play to get your feet down
in
bounds, too. I mean, it was a great play on both ends and not bad coverage from Macho. Now, as far as the last statement, as far as scoring more points, you said a mouthful. Because you cannot go into the fourth quarter being up by less than two touchdowns in a college football game. Not if you're expecting to lock up and beat
a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Exactly.
That's averaging 450 yards a game.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you look at this game, and I have no idea how Tech only scored 10 points. I mean, the offensive line played their best game of the year and did a pretty good job moving BC off the ball. Brandon Orr looked as close to 100% as he has all year. Sean Glennon completed 60% of his passes without an interception. At one point, he was 13 out of 14 in one stretch during that game. I mean, he was on fire for a while. But yet, Tech only put up 10 points. How? I don't know. I do know that except for their one touchdown drive, they only converted three third downs all night. So they did a pretty good job of moving the ball until they got to third down. Couldn't do it. You know, it's I won't say it was a terrible performance by the Tech offense, because you look at BC, nobody's rushed for more than, I believe, 69 yards on BC all year, and until the other night when Tech came out and rushed for about 120, you know, so you got to give them credit for that. But at the same time, you got to put up more than 10 points. And they had their chances, you know, and, you know, they just flat out blew it.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on ESPN 1430 on a Wednesday afternoon. Let me stop torturing the Hokie Nation. Let's get into tomorrow night. Let's talk about Georgia Tech. You brought up Sean Glennon, the good game that he had against BC. What do you think as far as him playing against Georgia Tech on Thursday night? Should he start in your eyes?
It's tough because I think he has the ability that if he gets protection, he can complete some passes downfield against Georgia Tech. But at the same time, if there's not going to be any protection, you need a guy who can get outside, because getting outside is the way to beat Georgia Tech's defense. You know, they're blitzing up the middle. You got to get outside and make some plays with your quarterback on the edge, either running or throwing with a run-pass option. I think this could be one of those games where we could possibly see both quarterbacks. Tyrod apparently looked much better in practice earlier this week as far as his ankle is concerned, and is pretty close to 100% there, and is going around and moving pretty well. So I think you could end up seeing both guys in this game just to kind of keep Georgia Tech on their heels.
There is two sides to that, too. You mentioned the fact that you want a guy that can actually get outside. And Sean showed a little bit of ability to be able to do that, even on Thursday night. But what you also get when you blitz as much as Georgia Tech does is you leave man-to-man coverage on guys, and you could blow a lot of coverages, too. With the passing quarterback, you may actually leave yourself open, as far as an offense is concerned, to make big plays on a blitzing team. Now, the other side to that, obviously, is, like you mentioned, you're a sitting duck if a guy doesn't get out of the way, doesn't get out quickly enough, and doesn't get the protection that he needs. And that leads into the next thing as far as the center is concerned. Ryan Schumann's out of the game. Bo Warren starts for Ryan Schumann. What do we expect as far as the offensive line is concerned?
I expect a lot of blitzes right up the middle from Georgia Tech, as if you would see anything else, no matter who the center is. But, you know, I think it's going to be tough for Warren because, you know, Georgia Tech's going to bring dozens of types of blitzes against him, and he's going to have to call the offensive line signals and pick those things up. You know, I like Warren personally. I think he's a good player. He's a little bit undersized right now, but he's a guy that'll go up and hit somebody. I watched him pretty closely against BC. And, you know, he and Sergio Render a lot of times just double-teamed on that nose guard that was lined up right in front of him. And he did a good job. He stays low and fires out of the gate low and has very good technique. Physically, you know, I'm not all that worried about him, despite the fact that he's a little small, because his technique is so good. But, you know, it's mentally, he's never faced a defensive blitzes like this before, and that's going
to
be tough.
We talked to Chan Gailey early this week, and he spoke about having the task of playing potentially against two quarterbacks, not knowing who's going to start. It'd be easier for Georgia Tech to know which guy is going to start so they can game plan against that guy. I like the idea that you could play two quarterbacks, but I will say this much in protection of Sean Glennon. He's played well enough in the last two games to warrant to play tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree with you 100%. I believe the last two games, 3 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, the 1 fumble and the fumbled snap on a wet night in Lane Stadium. Overall, you know, he's played pretty well. His pass efficiency rating is pretty high right now, and he's done a solid job overall. He's shown a lot of the improvements that a lot of people saw from him back in the spring and in the preseason, and that he's playing a little looser. He's not sitting in the pocket and waiting to get sacked or waiting for a receiver to get open. And you saw that several times against Boston College. He dropped back. There was nothing there, and he just started running. And he actually finished with positive yards on the ground, and that's a good thing for the Tech offense.
Before we let you go, Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com, let's talk about Georgia Tech's offense. Let's talk about their running back situation. They've got two guys, unfortunately two guys that won't play, but two guys that they're probably going to split the carries with, Jonathan Dwyer and Jamal Evans. Give us a breakdown on those two guys.
Oh, they're both good backs. I think they might be a little more outside runners right now, but I mean, you know, Dwyer's averaging 5.9 yards a carry this year as your third string guy. Evans will probably get the start because he's a little better in pass protection right now, but he's a guy with speed. I mean, those guys can play. You know, Choice is obviously a loss, but I think maybe their biggest loss that people are overlooking is their starting right guard, Nate McManus, out for the season. Started 32 consecutive games for him. So they've had to move their starting left guard over to right guard, and they've got a couple of guys splitting time at left guard that have hardly played at all. You know, so that's really going to hurt their defense up the middle, and I think they're going to have very little to no success running the ball in Virginia Tech.
Give me a prediction. We unfortunately were wrong last week. First time all season. Give me a prediction for tomorrow.
13-10 Virginia Tech is my prediction.
That low, huh?
That low, man. Their quarterback only has 2 touchdown passes all year, Taylor Bennett. I don't see him getting much done through the air. The Hokies are going to shut down their running game. You know, I don't see Virginia Tech doing much offensively. Could come down to special teams. Georgia Tech is very good special teams. It's just going to be an interesting matchup, but I think Tech has the Hokies have a better chance of hitting a big play in the passing game than Georgia Tech does, and I think that'll make the difference.
All right, Christopher, be good, brother. Thanks for the time, and as always, great, fantastic job.
Appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
All right, Christopher. Len Martinez here with you on ESPN 1430. Hopefully next segment we'll hook up with Aaron Rouse, former Hokie and current Green Bay Packer on the show. Until then, we've got to take a short time out on ESPN 1430. Thanks for Chris Coleman for joining us on ESPN 1430.